Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and it's great to be with you. You're going to be glad you hung out with me, too, because I've got Robert Gordman with me, ladies and gentlemen. Bob is the president of the Gordman Group, which is a consulting organization that works with large and small organizations, especially retail, to help them put their best foot forward. He's the author of The Must-Have Customer. He's the author of Secrets of the Super Sweet Spot. And he's here with a survey, a study that they've conducted he wants to tell us about. Bob, welcome back to the show.
Morning, Jim. How are you?
It's good. Great. Good. It's good to have you back. Happy New Year.
Thank you. It's always fun to be with you.
Now, you've been... Retail, Bob, has really taken it on the chin in the last 6 months or so, hasn't it?
You know, it's on a big picture basis, Jim, absolutely. And most retailers have had a difficult time, but the flip side is, and what we always like to talk about, is that there's some people doing very well, and what can you learn from those people?
Well, absolutely. And of course, that's the thing I've been telling my audience is 2009 is not going to be a bad year for everybody. It's going to be I don't think there's anybody who's not kind of unsettled about what's happening, though, Bob. I mean, nobody is unaffected by what's going on, but it's just a matter of degree of whether, you know, how it's affecting you. And, you know, I've been telling my audience that there's no shame in having the attitude for 2009 that I'm going to win by surviving. And I bet retailers right now, there's a lot of retailers who are saying, if I survive, I've had a good year. What do you think?
Oh, absolutely. And I think that it's the prudent thing to do. This is not a year to take risks and stick your neck out.
Yeah.
And I think your point of view is absolutely right on. And then if you do better than that, it's terrific. You're
Congratulations.
Really prosper.
Yeah. 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 I'm not saying that we're not saying that you shouldn't strive for that. But if you're in business January 1, 2010, if you're still making payroll at that point, then you can say you had a successful year, I think.
Absolutely.
Especially if you're in retail. Now, what did you polled a lot of folks across the country, didn't you?
Yeah, we do every year when we do this study. This is the ninth year. We interview by phone about 800 consumers, and we interview people that have actually spent money. So we don't just talk to anybody that answers the phone. We ask them first, have you spent personally $200 this year during the holiday season?
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, we have 8 or 9 years of data now, and it really gives us a great perspective to see how things have changed.
Right. And what'd you find out this time?
Well, it was interesting. On a typical year, about a third of the population says that they spent less than they did the year before. That seems to be normally every year. This year it was 55%.
Wow.
55%. So almost twice as many people reported spending less, and again, in a typical year, about a quarter of the population reports spending more during the holiday season, and this year it was about 18%.
Now, let's put this in perspective for the retailers, Bob. A lot of the merchandise that small business owners hope to sell in the fourth quarter, they actually have to pick out and make arrangements to have it shipped to them sometime in the spring, don't they?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And in 08, it didn't look like the year was going to end the way it wound up. So people were probably more optimistic in their ordering in the spring than we now know they should have been. And so not only did the people not come in, they probably, you know, that's one of the reasons for all the discounts. They needed to move some stuff.
You know, you got to raise cash. Cash is king.
That's right. So this was a tough year for retailers. All right, what else did you find out?
Well, I mean, here's really, I think, the thing that probably everybody can benefit a little bit from. We asked customers to rate the importance of about, 15 or 16 different things that retailers do in terms of how it affects their loyalty to the store. And what's very interesting, and it's really kind of basic, is the things that really keep customers loyal is having the merchandise they expect to find in your store in stock. And obviously, if they go into Walmart, they expect to find different things than if they go into Nordstrom. So it's having what they expect to find in that store in stock, having helpful salespeople staffing the store, having a customer-friendly return policy, and providing fair everyday prices. So these are the things that really stood way above everything else of the 15 or 16 items.
Those were the top four of the 15, weren't they?
Those were the ones. That's what's important. Now, what's really important is the bottom four, because you see a lot of companies, retailers, and others getting into it. The five things that the customer simply does not care about is discount coupons, loyalty rewards programs, delayed payments, 90 days, same as cash, layaway, which, of course, Kmart made a big deal out of this year and meant nothing, and contests. So all of those little add-ons are not important to the consumer. What they simply want is they want what they expect to find, and they want it at a fair price, and they want it in an easy-to-shop environment. I mean,
one of the things, Bob, that we've been talking about lately with some of my other experts is how does a small business protect its brand value in a recession? And the idea meaning that if I've got something that's my major product, and I need to sell it on a regular basis for $100, if I discount that to $85, then I have to hold that price for a while because of the economy, that reestablishes the new value for that product. Which is not good, because when the economy turns around, I need to go back up to 100, and I may not be able to. And some of my other experts have said, instead of lowering the price for $100 in order to incent your customers and to let them know that you're in this thing with them, they suggested that you give away something. Don't discount, but give away something. What do you think about that? How do you think your people would respond to that?
Yeah, I think it's a good idea.
Hold on to that thought, Bob, because I want you to be able to, because your discount, one of the things they pointed out here was discount coupons was on the bottom of the list here.
Yep.
And that's the reason it made me think of that. I'm going to get Bob to answer that question, folks, right after these messages. It's 20 after. Here's the late, great Dan Fogelberg to take us out. This is the song Nexus from the Innocent Age album. It's outstanding. 20 after. Stay with us. Welcome back. It's 23 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. We're visiting with our good friend Robert Gordman. Bob is the author of The Must-Have Customer, also Secrets of the Super Sweet Spot. And Bob, give us your website, please.
Gordman Group, GORDMAN.com.
And folks, you can also find Bob's all the wisdom that Bob has deposited with us over the years right on our website, smallbusinessadvocate.com. He's very prominent, of course, this week on our schedule and on our recent interviews. But all the other things he's done there, you can find at smallbusinessadvocate.com. Don't forget, also, my blog is there. I encourage you to check over there. Link to that. I update that quite often during the week, almost every day, sometimes more than once a day with new blog posts. And, of course, my knowledge base is there. And don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter. And if you're a Twitter head, if you like Twitter, you can follow me on Twitter. Just put Jim Blassingame after Twitter.com, and you can find me there. Bob, I asked you a question about the best way to protect and preserve a small business's brand value. And I said that some of my experts are encouraging people not to discount their main brand products, but the things that they really feel are what sets them apart, but to give something away in association with a purchase rather than a discount. What do you think about that?
Well, let me give you two points of view on that, Jim. I think the first thing is, I think giving something away, buy something, get something, you know, of course, Amazon has really propelled their business with free shipping. So they're not changing the prices, but they're simply paying for the shipping.
Right.
It has been a tremendous asset to them. I think the flip side is, and I guess the advice I'd give a client is, if you want to protect your brand, the key thing is, you know, there's nothing wrong with selling steak cheap. The problem is selling cheap steak.
Right.
And as long as you don't tamper with the quality of what you deliver, I think everybody knows this is a difficult business time, and everybody's working, you know, a little extra, a little harder to get sales. And I think that, you know, some, you know, reasonable discounting to generate business is not out of line, as long as you don't tamper with the quality or the service you deliver. Then, then you're really taking risk.
Was there anywhere in your study where you asked people how much of their purchases what was their inclination of in working with small businesses? Because I noticed that you identify the stores, the big boxes that they visited during the holiday season. Was there any questions about small business in there?
Well, there weren't any comments other than people said that they tended to shop closer to home.
Yeah.
And that seemed to be something that, you know, I don't know if that's kind of a residue of the high fuel prices, which we're no longer dealing with.
Mm-hmm.
But they did shop closer to home. I think, Jim, one of the case studies that really popped out of this research, because we've got, you know, 8 years of data, and we'll be, by the way, I'd like to, if any of your listeners are going to be attending the National Retail Federation show next week in New York, we will be doing the Tuesday morning super session.
All right.
Focused on creating a sweet spot for sustained profitable growth. So, if you're at the show, I hope you'll stop in and spend an hour with us. We think we've got something pretty interesting to share.
Yeah, march right up and tell Bob you heard him on my show, and you know, he'll give you a big hug, right, Bob?
You better believe it.
So
I'm sorry, Jim. Go ahead.
Go ahead. You were saying.
Yeah. So anyway, I think one of the things that really came out of the study that's a great experience, great learning experience for anybody in business, is what's happened to the department stores over the last decade, and it's even been really more than that. But in the study, we asked people, where did you spend the most during this holiday season? And in 2000, 15% of all consumers said they spent the most at a department store. This year, 6% of all consumers said they spent the most at a department store.
Wow.
And I think that that's a great example of what I was just talking about.
Walmart not being a department store, is that what you're saying?
No, this would be Macy's, Dillard's, Milk, stores like that.
So Walmart was the beneficiary of that trend, though, wasn't it?
No, actually not. It's got nothing to do with Walmart. What's happened, those customers that have left the department stores have gone to either specialty stores, the Internet, or catalogs.
Right.
And the reason is they couldn't find the product that they wanted anymore in the department stores.
Very interesting. Which could be good news for small business.
Oh, absolutely. I think that the department stores have so damaged the quality of what they sell.
Yeah.
That I think it's a terrific opportunity for companies to be picking up that slack and opening up what used to be called specialty stores, you know, in our world, but many of those have disappeared.
Well, I keep coming back to this same theme, Bob. After all these years, I've been talking about this for a long time. People are more likely to want to buy what they want these days instead of just what they need.
Jim, it's absolutely a certainty that when people go to a store, they want what they want, and if you have it and it's at a fair price, you can sell it. If you don't have what they want, they don't care what your price is.
And the beauty of a small business is all we got to do is find what our small group of people who want what we have and be loyal to them, serve them well, because we don't have to have the world to be successful.
Well, that's the basis of our book, The Must-Have Customer.
GordmanGroup.com, right?
Yes, sir.
And the book is The Must-Have Customer. Thanks again, Bob, for being here. Good job today. We'll see you next time.
Thank you, Jim. Take care.
Bob's going to be back real soon with another survey he's about to produce. I'm looking forward to that already. Quick break. Stay with me. Right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.